Hi, Daryl, recovered alcoholic drug addict.
Come on, you can do better than that. Recovered alcoholic drug addict. Come on, it ain't nobody but us here. We might as well be alive, amen? Come on, we might as well be alive. Really excited about being here. A little nervous. Some of my friends showed up from my home group of Vision for You. Give them a hand. Just some good people, man. Grateful to see them. I've seen a friend of mine here. I've been working with and knowing for a long, long time, and I'm grateful to see him here. And just excited about this topic. I believe that, how many of you here are in recovery? I'm just wondering who I'm talking to. All right, mostly all of us are here on a Friday night. Some of y'all just didn't come for the food. Well, some of them did come for the food. There was a long line of folks here. Some of them had them some Chinese food, man, some noodles and some rice. And I seen them exit, man. They were like, thank you. I'm glad you guys stayed, because let me tell you something. This topic here about triggers and identifying and reacting, I believe these are essential tools. If you want to have some deep, healthy, exciting, joyful recovery, how many of you want some of that? Come on, let me tell you something, because you know what? You could have some boring, miserable, sad, come on, some of that dreary recovery. I see it all the time. Come on, congratulations, Clarence, 137 days and 60 days. Yeah. I looked at my little computer. I got 12,105 days today. Thank you, Jesus. You can say that up here. We get to come out of the closet up in here, some of my Vision for You friends. We get to talk about Jesus like we are just crazy about him up in here. We are unapologetic about the love of God because he's real. Come on, folks. You're looking at miracles right here. Come on now. We are looking at miracles. And so I hope that you can grow in your recovery. And this topic here will help us grow. How many of you want to grow? Come on. It's 2019. You might as well grow, huh? Come on, somebody. It's 2019. I don't know about you, but I tell people the kind of recovery I got some of that Price is Right kind of recovery. How many of you like Price is Right, man? Don't you just love that energy there? I mean, man, that guy gets up there, man, and Drew Carey comes out. He gets the mic from one of them beautiful models, man. Them models have changed. Oh, yes, they have. You hear what I'm saying? The models have changed. But he gets him that microphone, and they call up the first contestant. And when they call their name, them folks are up slapping people high five, telling them, get off that phone and listen, pay attention. Come on, they're slapping people high five. But them folks are excited. Check us out. Everyone in the auditorium is excited, and they ain't even won nothing. Come on. But you know what they're excited for? Because their name was called. Come on. And all of us here, you're here because your name has been called. Come on, somebody. The big book talks about, man, we've needed 100% divine help to make it here. Thank God some of y'all in the VA, come on, in any other kind of program, but we've needed some divine help to get here. Amen. Because we're here, the streets are much safer tonight. You hear me? Come on, somebody. So that's what kind of recovery I have, that Price is Right with kind of recovery. Because you know what? If you don't work on your recovery and you don't do these 12 steps, you don't have a spiritual awakening, you don't have a spiritual experience, you know what kind of recovery you have? You have that Dr. Phil kind of recovery. You ever watch Dr. Phil lately? It's just kind of dreary, man. It's just kind of gloomy. You know what I mean? It's just kind of sad. You know, when you got a young lady on there, she's there because she keyed her boyfriend's car and it went viral. Let me tell you something, man. He's going to beat her up. Come on, man. And then he's going to jail for domestic violence. And both their parents are going to be sad and miserable. But the Price is Right. Come on now. Just because their name was called, they were happy. So triggers, identifying and reacting. Triggers, a situation or event that can cause someone to do something, especially of something read, seen, or heard. It can be distress by someone, typically as a result of arousing feelings or memories associated with a particular traumatic experience. Few things that can trigger us in recovery are fear. How many of you know fear can trigger us in recovery? That's what they talk about in the big book, that we are driven by 100 forms of fear. I don't know about you. I don't want 7 forms of fear. But this book right here, man, it just hits the nail on the head by it says, this is the common denominator, folks. We are driven by 100 forms of fear. What is fear? False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. I heard another one is future expectations already ruined. You ever woke up one day, man, you were going to do something, and all of a sudden you just had a thought and just ruined it? Just ruined it with a thought. Let me tell you something. That's all it takes. I had a friend of mine. He, bless his soul, he's passed away, Vicente. But he used to say, Daryl, I only have one problem. That's my thinking. I just got one problem, Daryl. That's my thinking. He says, you know what? One day he ended up in the emergency room. He said, what happened? I said, what happened to you, Vicente? He said, I got hit by a thought. Let me tell you something, man. We got to watch how we deal with our fears. Come on now. Another one is forget everything and run. Look around here. You're looking at some great runners. Some of us ran to the liquor store. Some of us ran to the crack house. Come on. Some of us ran to hometown buffet. Come on. Come on now, run there, man. Come on. Come on, man. Them hometown buffet. Let me tell you, some of them places should be illegal. Come on. Be seeing 400-pound people in there. What are you doing in here? Running. Running from feelings. You hear me? Another thing we deal with in recovery that triggers us is pain. A lot of us have emotional pain. A lot of us have physical pain. And we definitely are struggling with spiritual pain. This disconnect from God. A lot of us struggle, have triggers with our past. History of abuse, abandonment issues, broken homes, dysfunctional upbringings. Not growing up feeling loved. Feeling appreciated. Feeling wanted. Feeling like we belong. Those are triggers for us in recovery, man. We didn't grow up knowing that we were appreciated, man. And how do you become a mature adult? See, a lot of us got lost, man, in our adolescence. A lot of us got lost in our adolescence. Another trigger is isolation. A lot of us learned how to just check out, just run away, just withdraw. You know, some of these triggers are external. You know, how many of you, man, you go by somewhere and you just see something, and all of a sudden some triggers can happen, man. Just by being in a certain atmosphere, a place you used to get loaded at, can trigger. And so it's important, man, to be aware of these, man. But most of them we deal with are internal. Most of what we're dealing with, folks, it's within us. It's on the inside of us. And I heard my good friend Eddie G, he says all the time that we come into these rooms. We come in here so that we can go inside here. And let me tell you something, folks. This is a scary place to go to for a lot of us inside here. A lot of us have been hiding pain. What the big book says, a lot of us were actors. We act as though nothing's wrong, man. Come on, I'm a professional actor. I'm looking at some of the best actors on the planet. Hollywood wish they had us. Come on now. We know how to act. Act like ain't nothing wrong. You know what I mean? Come on, we are tore up out there. Got 3 DUIs. Come on, ain't been to the dentist since 72. Starting to have issues in the mouth. Come on, man. Come on, that people can look at us and tell, man, we are hurting. And we sit up there, man, how you doing? Fine. You know what the definition of fine is? We're frustrated. We're insecure. We're neurotic and emotional. But we will tell someone in a hot minute, I'm doing fine. Let me tell you something, man. We got to be honest. If you want to grow in your recovery, that's one of them spiritual principles that it takes time to develop that spiritual principle of honesty. I mean, come on. When I got clean and sober, man, I was 23 years old. And you come and sit in them little circles, and they want to start talking about your feelings. And let me tell you something, folks. I don't know how to tell the truth. I've been lying for 23 years. Lying good, too, huh? Look at you. I know some of y'all smiling. Y'all some good liars, too. You're looking at some of the best liars in Northern California right here. Some of the best. Why did we lie? Because we were afraid. Why did I become a good liar? I look back and realize I had an angry father. A lot of issues we have are issues from growing up. And man, one thing that used to trigger me, my father just, Michael Jackson, daddy didn't have nothing on Jesse. You hear me? That's why Michael was so fractured, man. People looking at him, he's the greatest entertainer on the planet, but emotionally, he was fractured, man. He was wounded. And a lot of men, let me tell you something, men, a lot of us don't deal with our father issues. Let me tell you something, you don't deal with those wounds show up. They show up in your relationships. We wonder why we can't get close to someone. But my father, man, my middle name is Edward. Huh? My name is Daryl Edward Pearson. My father used to say, Daryl Edward! I mean, I almost want to pee on myself. You know what I mean? I'm just like, whoa. When he talked, let me tell you something. It was like Mike Tyson in the house yelling. You hear me? I mean, just, I was just like withdrawn. I just shut down emotionally. You hear me? And I didn't, and my father, he, praise God for the 12-step programs and the Lord and how he worked. Because today, my father's one of my best friends. Give the Lord a hand for that, man. But growing up, man, I did some inventory. And I you know what I had? They say, how do you describe growing up around your father? It was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable, man. My father, man, spoke, and me and my two brothers, man, my father said, Daryl Edward, you come running from Africa to PC, whatever the name of the PBC, whatever the name of the church is, and see what he wants. But you know what it did? It broke me, man. Made me fragile, made me stuff my feelings, made me not know how to express myself, especially when there was conflict. You hear me? I don't know about you, man, but even to this day, 12,105 days later, I can see someone get angry, and all of a sudden, man, just a little bit of just that tension, that uncomfortability, man. I don't, and then there are some other people that they see anger. They're like, man, I like that, man. You know what I mean? That's weird. You hear what I'm talking about? I got a little coworker, and I guess what I've learned about myself, and that's what recovery's about. It's about personal self-awareness. Let me tell you something. Don't stay around here 10, 20, 30 years and don't get to know yourself and just run around here. I just want to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. You better find out about you. You hear what I'm talking about? There's some people, man, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, and let me tell you something. Your wife will leave you because you're hiding behind a program. But I remember, man, realizing that, wow, how fractured I was. You know what I mean? It was like, wow. I mean, when I grew up in my house, you know, a lot of us like going to speaker discussion meetings. Where I grew up, it was just speaker meetings. Jesse spoke. There was no discussion. You didn't get to talk. And so it was a trigger. And so I got a coworker, huh? And what I learned by myself, too, is I'm passive aggressive. See, there's some people that can just be aggressive. Boom. You know what I mean? A lot of them are like in San Quentin right now. You know what I'm talking about? Thank God for penitentiaries. You feel me? They're just aggressive. But I grew up, man, I was sensitive. You know what I mean? I would shoot one of them birds on the wire. I go and cry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shoot you. I mean, I'm going to shoot them again the next day. You know what I mean? But I was sensitive. You know what I mean? I had buddies that were hard, man. They would light a cat on fire. I was just like, whoa, you crazy. Those are my friends that went to penitentiaries. But I was sensitive. And let me tell you something. I got a coworker, little short thing like this. And, man, sometimes she can just start getting mad. Daryl, you need that. I mean, she just, and you know what? I've took it for like 3 or 4 years. I just be calm. And let me tell you something. I came to work a few weeks ago, and she snapped at me, and there was something in me that said, hey, back off of me. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. What's your problem? No, I'm not going to help you. And you know, because I did that, she came up to me like a half hour later. Daryl, can you help me change the vacuum bag? I'm like, sure. I'm like, this woman is crazy. She don't want a nice Daryl. She like, I like when he would yell at me. I mean, she didn't say that, but that's true. You know what I mean? Let me tell you, I ain't into that. You hear what I'm saying? But so, man, check this out about triggers. Triggers are about an unhealthy fixed mindset. Our minds are automatically conditioned to bring up certain thoughts that we unconsciously allow to control us without realizing it or not even being aware of it. Man, that's the cold thing about triggers, huh? And the difficult thing that to deal with triggers with an alcoholic is the alcoholic mind suffers from self-delusion. You know what I mean? We think it's normal to like just live in the bushes and go to the liquor store and it's right down the street. That's like wonderful. I live right down the street from the liquor store. I don't have any rent to pay. That's not normal. You hear what I'm saying? It's cold outside. But for the alcoholic mind, we think that's normal. To continue, you got two DUIs and we rationalize. You ever find yourself doing that? Just rationalizing and justifying? The alcoholic mind is a state of having a false idea about yourself or the situation you're in. Bill's friend, Ebby Thatcher, told him that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. You know how this 12-step program started? Ebby Thatcher had 5 weeks sober. He had 37 days, but because he'd had this spiritual transformation, because God had done so much work in his life, God said, I'm going to send you to Bill Wilson with 37 days. Let me tell you all something. We're all God's agents. You hear me? You got 60 days, man. That's like having $60 million. I see people sometimes, they're like, yeah, I only got 6 months. You only got six months. No. You have more than just, see, what we have is priceless. Most alcoholics will never enter into recovery. You hear me? They'll never even come to an AA meeting. People come to meetings? Court cards, drunk driving, consequences. That's where we go. But Ebby went to him, man, and told him God had done for him what he couldn't do for himself. Why? Because he couldn't fix himself. And I want to encourage you, man, to learn about these triggers, man. You better realize you can't fix yourself. You know what I mean? And what did God do for Ebby? He renewed his mind. I want to encourage you, man. Let me tell you, every night, every moment you walk this earth, ask God, say, renew my mind. Renew my mind. Let me tell you something, folks. I thank the Lord I didn't lose my mind. I drank all kind of alcohol. I smoked all kind of cocaine, but I played around with some of that PCP also. That's elephant tranquilizer. You hear me? What are you doing smoking elephant tranquilizer, Daryl? Because my buddy had some. You hear what I'm saying? Them brothers were smoking Sherm. Them Hispanics were smoking KJ. And I hung out with the white guys doing acid. You hear what I'm saying? Make you a little freaky and kinky, you know what I mean? But that stuff will make you lose your mind. If you're sitting here, it's because you still have your mind. Give God a hand that you still got your mind. I see people, and you too. You see people all the time, huh? Let me tell you, you see them. They're there, but the lights ain't on. The elevator ain't going to the top. You hear me? Let me tell you something. I got to speak over in East Palo Alto at a recovery home, and I'm sitting there, and there's like 20 people there, and I could tell they're not there. You hear me? Because I thought it was me at first. I was like, what's wrong with your chair, Daryl? And I was like, it ain't me. I can tell some of them done played too much. You play around with this too much, and the cheese will slip off the cracker. You hear what I'm talking? Come on, right now, you still got some cheese on the cracker. Thank you, Lord. Thank God every day I can change myself. Thank God every day I can brush my teeth. Thank God every day. I don't think it's a normal thing to live in the bushes outside. Thank God every day I got a few people in my life that when I see them, I can smile at them. You hear me? Let me tell you something. It's a beautiful thing to have your mind. And check this out about your mind. If we don't learn to manage our thoughts will manage us. You hear me? You better learn how to manage your thoughts. And how do we manage our thoughts? We got to give God our mind. I love this in the scripture. It says in Philippians 2:5, your attitude, that means your mind, should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. This ain't no religious stuff, folks. This is real stuff. We just passed up another Christmas, and God lets these Christmases come around because you hear about that baby that came. That baby came from heaven, man. That baby came to live a life that we could only dream about living. You hear me? That baby came and laid down his life for the sins of the world. But that baby came and loved the brokenhearted. We get to feed the homeless here. You heard that story about Jesus, huh? He was teaching and there was like 5,000 people there. And the disciples said, man, you need to send these people away. We don't got no hometown buffets out here. You know what I mean? Send them. We ain't got no Sizzlers with them all-you-could-eat salad bars. Send them people away. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus said, give me a little something to eat. All it takes with God is a little something. You hear me? Jesus got a little happy meal, huh? A few fish and a few loaves of bread. Jesus lifted that bread up to the Father and said, Father, bless this. Be magnified. And brought it down, man, and start serving them folks all that fish and bread. And afterward, they said they had 12 baskets of leftovers. You hear me? Can you imagine how stupid them disciples were feeling? They were like, man, I wanted to send them people away. Let me tell you something. You know, when we send people away, when we don't think we know what they need. And that's why we need God in our life, because God never sends nobody away. God will meet your need right where it is. You hear me? In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's amazing, my brothers and sisters. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. I don't know about you, man, but let me tell you, that's priceless right there for you to be able to control yourself. Let me tell you something. You can control yourself. I remember I used to cuss early in recovery. I had like 2 years, and I came outside of an AA meeting in East Palo Alto, and it's like God grabbed me by the collar and said, stop cussing. I was by myself. You hear me? I was by myself on the sidewalk, and I felt him convict me of cussing. I grew up, man, I cussed like Steph Curry played basketball. You hear me? I grew up Richard Pryor, Red Fox. We used to have fun cussing. You know what I mean? I was a funny little cusser. Let me tell you something. God said, stop. And you know what I realized years later? That God pricked my heart. See, your dashboard, your tongue is the dashboard to reveal what's going on in your heart. And let me tell you something, what I've learned, folks. If you can control your words, you can control your future. You hear me? I tell people, yes, I exercise. Yes, I work out at 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I just don't look good for nothing. You hear what I'm saying? Had to get up this morning at 5 o'clock. This is a get up in morning, 5 o'clock body right here. You hear what I'm talking about? And I ate too much over the holidays. You hear me? But let me tell you something. You know what? If that's never come out of this mouth right here, I feel like getting loaded. I feel like getting high. Let me tell you, you know what that is? That's a victim's mouth right there. When you start saying, man, I don't just feel. Let me tell you something. If you start saying you don't feel good, you won't feel good. Yeah. You hear me? If you start saying, man, I'm going to get in shape, you're going to get in shape. Yeah. If you speak, man, say, man, for the rest of my life, one day at a time, I will be sober. You hear me? If you got to speak them words. Yeah. I speak them words into my life. I ain't going to be broke again. Come on, I speak them words into my daughters. I got two beautiful daughters. They went to a private school over here at Eastside. We were in the office. They were getting $17,500 a year grants for both of them, paid for. And you know what the teacher said to them, the principal? If you come to class and do the work, you're going to a four-year college. That's what he told my babies. And you know what my babies did? My babies went to class and did the work, and my oldest daughter graduated from college. Give her a hand. She graduated. Check this out. He says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Yes, sir. This world is hurting. This world is broken. This world is falling. You hear me? Young lady just got killed in Davis yesterday, 22 years old. My baby, my oldest daughter's 23. She just graduated from the academy. She's a police officer. And she went to some scene where there was a three-car crash. And she was like blocks away. And some guy walked up, man, and just shot her. And she died. Let me tell you something, folks. Tomorrow's not promised to none of us. You hear me? You got to prepare yourself for heaven like right now. You hear what I'm saying? So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we have, you got triggers, and now we have identifying, to recognize or distinguish, especially something considered worthy of attention. We can identify our triggers or issues because God has given us a new mind. Let me tell you something. If you don't renew your mind, your emotions will still control you. Come on. Your past will still control you. Don't you hate that sometimes you're at a meeting and someone, I remember I was 4 years old. Come on, man. Going way back there. Sometimes alcoholics get paralyzed by our past. You hear me? Come on, man. You're 64 years old now. I just want to talk about when I was 4 years old. That's a long share, huh? I'd be like, God, you know what I say during them shares? God, help him grow up fast. Dude, you got 20 minutes. Come on, man. So God has given us a new mind. With God's help, identifying issues that used to baffle us, we now have keen awareness. Let me tell you something. That's what you want in your life, man. You want to have keen awareness about your issues, about your insecurities. You hear me? About what holds you down, what keeps you from being happy. Let me tell you something, folks. You're in control of your own life. You hear me? Don't sit up for waiting for Publishers Clearing House to come make your dreams come true. They ain't coming. I waited for about 15 years. They ain't coming. You hear me? Leave them lotteries alone. You ain't gonna win it. You hear me? If God wanted you to be rich, you'd have been born into, you'd have been Mark Zuckerberg's little baby boy. But you ain't. You hear what I'm saying? So you want to have keen awareness about your issues. Let me tell you something real quick here. This is what I learned, how I learned. I don't know about how you learn, but for me, this knucklehead right here, I learned through sometimes pain. That's how I learn. But I'm asking God in my 33rd year, 1 month, 3 weeks, and 1 day, I'm trying to ask God, let me learn things without having to be a lot of pain in it. And what happened to me one day, one of my character defects is procrastination. Any other procrastinators here? Some of y'all procrastinated, raising your hand up. Come on. Procrastination, huh? We just put off. I procrastinated everything except for cocaine and sex. We didn't procrastinate it. You hear me? I realize it's really not an issue. It's a choice. But what happened to me is I got up one day, but I've been a procrastinator all my life. And I heard that procrastinators are people who grew up in highly critical homes. Like my father, I'd show up, dummy, I told you to be here. What you doing here? I told you. See, so it's like, why show up early if you're just going to put me down? Why show up early if you're going to criticize me? Why should I get to you right on time if you're just going to make me feel, man, like I'm useless? You hear me? So it's like, so we don't show up on time. So we carry this character defect into our 30s, 40s, 50s, our whole lives we carry these character defects, huh? And I'm going to tell you what happened to me, how God gave me some keen insight. This is about identifying. I got up one day, and I was rushing, and I had to call in for jury duty, and I just got up and walked right by it. Man, let me tell you something. I forgot my shirt today at home going to the gym. Are any of you like me that you'll forget your head if it wasn't connected to your body? Come on, man. I just was like, why do I forget things? You know what I mean? Some of us were just moving in too fast. These minds got so many things. And so I left. I came back, and I called them up, and they said, come in 2 weeks, Mr. Pearson. And I went in there, and I was with 600 people. And before you know it, when they cleared out everybody and all the hardships and people who couldn't speak English, all of a sudden, I'm up there in the jury stand, and they said, stand. And we stood. They said, all rise. And they said, you are our jurors. I was a juror, thank you, Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Come on, it's good to be on the other side. You hear me? I don't need no lawyer. Don't need no probation officer. I'm a juror. You hear me? That's a good feeling, man. Judge Novak was smiling at me, saying hi to me. And so we go through this process. It's a murder trial. She said it's going to take 3 weeks. Let me encourage you. You know, she said, don't talk about the case. Don't read anything about the case. Let me encourage you. You want to grow spiritually, become a better listener. You want to have healthier relationships in your life, ask God to help you listen more. Come on. You think there's a reason he gave us two ears and one mouth? Come on. Any of you like me, sometimes, you know, you just need the Holy Spirit to say, shut up. Just shut up, huh? You got any friends in your life like that sometimes, once in a while, you just want to tell them, you shut up. Come on, I got a coworker like that. I'm just like, will you shut up? I don't tell them that because, you know, they get all offended and have you in the office. But shut up. You hear me? Just. And let me tell you something, folks. For 3 weeks I went there, kept my mouth closed and listened. And I learned that I can listen differently. Let me tell you something, man. You want better, healthier relationships. Some of you got children. You want your children to respect you, man. You want to build bonds with people. Sit down sometime and just listen to them. You hear me? And so what happened to me is for 3 weeks we went there, and then guess what happened? One time Judge Novak said we meet at 8. So other times she was busy with other court things, and we had to meet at 10. One time I got there at 8, and the court wasn't until 10. And I went and sat in my car, and I had a self-revelation for me. It was like, this is what it feels like to get somewhere early and relax. You know what I mean? This is, because, you know, let me tell you, I had it. It was messed up. You know, like me and my wife would have to be at a wedding in Richmond at 11. I live in East Palo Alto. Huh? At 10:30, I want to mow the lawn. Because I can mow the lawn, get out, get in the shower like 10:40, huh? You know, and all of a sudden I'll be ready by 5 to 11, and then we're going to drive and there'll be no traffic all the way to Richard. Wonder why it's all quiet all the way there, huh? Wonder why she ain't speaking to me all the way, huh? Wonder why she's looking at me like, you idiot, huh? Are you still doing this behavior, huh? Or didn't I tell you that the wedding was, this is my cousin? And you know what I mean? She wasn't talking, but you can feel that. Some of you men know what that's like, huh? Even with your 5 years of marriage, huh? Come on, baby. You didn't felt some of that tension, huh? Come on, walking through the house, man, just quiet, ain't talking. I was in bed one time, man. We were having some of that spiritual tension, huh? And I was like, I heard the door shut. I'm like, she didn't even say bye. No, because I done something dumb. You hear me? And I needed a consequence. You hear me? Some of us don't learn anything but except through consequences. And I sat there in that parking lot, folks, and tears came down my eyes because I said, this is what I've been doing to me. No one, my wife's been telling me, come on. We, all of us in here, got people that tell us things about our behavior that they can identify for us. Yeah. Come on. Some of us can't identify nothing, huh? Come on. That molar's starting to shake. Come on. You better go to, it's speaking to you saying, go to the dentist now. You hear me? And let me tell you something. When people identify stuff to you about you, believe them. They don't have no trying to lie to you about nothing. So identifying is important, man. Check this out. Here, too, what I realized one time. Back in April, I got a chance to get a motorcycle, huh? My wife, bless her heart, she loves me so much. I've been on my job 33 years, man, and I got a chance to get me a new BMW. It's like a black James Bond. You hear what I'm talking about? Just smooth. You hear me? And guess what happened? I didn't realize I was asked to speak up in San Francisco. So I asked my buddy Johnny over there, who was on the drums, would he ride with me up there? I was going to be the main speaker. Johnny was going to get 10 minutes. We rode up there, and what happened, folks, is we got up to a hill. This new BMW was 200 pounds heavier than my old bike. I'd only had this BMW for 2 weeks, and we got up on the hill, and we were making a right. Johnny's had his Harley Davidson for a while. This bike is new for me. I was getting ready to make a right turn on a hill. I had it in second gear and needed to be in first, and I just had to say, whoa, and stop it. But you know what happened? Some fear hit me. I was like, whoa, can you handle this big puppy here? That's what went through my mind. Did you step up? Did you get something that's too much for you, Daryl? And you know what I had to do? I had to process it. I had to go realize, you know what? No, in 2012, I rode a Harley Davidson for 1,500 miles with my buddy, and it was 800 pounds. It was like, Daryl, this bike is 800 pounds, but you just hopped on it. Take that fear out of your mind. And let me tell you something, folks. When you can conquer your own fear, man, I got 4,700 miles on that bike now. But when you can conquer your own fear, let me tell you something. That's a beautiful thing. Let me finish this up here. Identifying is finding out what's the problem. Where is it located? This is what we need to do to fix it. Sometimes identification is difficult, folks. Come on. That's why we go to a dentist. Your buddy can't look down in there and go, yeah, I see a cavity. He can't do that. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, come on. I got a friend that was an electrician. He came over to my house the other day. And let me tell you, he pulled out this little tool and he pushed it up there. I had a light that was out and he realized this wire's hot. See, sometimes we need other people that can identify things for us because sometimes we can't identify them. And if we don't identify them and fix them, what happens is we don't know how to react. Reacting is means to change in response in a particular way when something happens, is said, etc. Without God, we're in denial. We run. We get angry. We get fearful. We blame. But when we put our trust in God, you know what happens to us? We get courage. Come on now. Come on now. We get the ability to walk through situations that used to baffle us. We intuitively know how to handle things, man, differently. And so, man, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I know myself better today. I know the triggers in my life. I've learned that I got to still stay focused to identify what's going on inside of Daryl. And that's another beautiful thing. Let me say this. Shut up. Worry about you. Come on, you ever get up sometime? What's he going to do? What they going to do? Where are you supposed to be? Where are they supposed to go? Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. You walk in a gym, there's only one body you need to focus on. You hear me? That's your own. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share.